This is Vern Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Good morning and welcome to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7. Also streaming live on HoosierLandTV.com. Each weekday, Party Line brings you conversations with local leaders, community organizations, business owners, elected officials, event organizers, and the people making a difference across Clinton, Boone, Carroll, and surrounding counties. We also want to hear from you. Our phone lines are open throughout the program at 765-659-3338. Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7 is made possible by TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon, big deals. Save money now and 24/7 at WeLoveBigDeals.com. And your free local news source, Clinton, Carroll, or BooneCountyDailyNews.com. The Party Line online telecast on HoosierLandTV.com is brought to you by 51 West Event Center, The Farmers Bank, Stoops Country Foods, Culligan, Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arbor Wood by Stoops, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Jerry's Body Shop, Community Foundation serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard Counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Ellis Jewelers, Marshan's Window Tinting, Avery Home Store, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfort, Copper Electric Services, LLC, Braden Business Systems, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, and Mann Chevrolet GMC in Delphi. Whether you're listening on WILO, Boone's Best 102.7, watching on Hoosierland TV, or joining us online, we invite you to be part of the show. Call us at 765-659-3338. This is Party Line.
Hey, good morning. It is Party Line. Hope everybody likes our new opening there. Appreciate all of the producers making it happen. Melissa, today, taking care of the show. We greatly appreciate everybody behind the scenes that make things work. Shan Sheridan with you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Of course, we're Monday through Friday on Party Line, and you're always welcome to call. Give us a call, 659-3338. In fact, you can call us today. We're open line up to 9 o'clock. We've got Laura Archibald coming in. Well, maybe Laura. We might be Kathy. We got Healthy Communities. Regardless, Healthy Communities will be in at 9 o'clock this morning. Talking all things Clinton County Healthy Communities of Healthy Communities of Clinton County. I believe that's the right moniker for that. And then we're going to also talk about some things that are going on, but we are going to continue our American, I'm soloing today, our American heritage, America's heritage in Judeo-Christianity and where we came from. We're going to be talking more about that. But before we do any of that, I want to let you know about the weather. We've got some stuff that could be happening later today, so just make you aware. But it could be getting a little crazier tomorrow, so we'll give you an update on that as well. Today, scattered showers, then showers likely, and possibly a thunderstorm between 2 and 4 this afternoon. Scattered showers, thunderstorms after 4, increasing clouds with a high near 74. And then winds could gust up to as high as 26 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation, 60%. New rainfall amounts between 1/10 and 1/4 inch. Like we need some more, but we're not gonna complain. God, not complaining. Just whatever happens, happens. But tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 8 o'clock. But tomorrow is when things get a little dicey. We wanted to make you aware of. So showers and thunderstorms likely, then showers possibly a thunderstorm between 8 and 2 a.m., 8 p.m. and 2 a.m., then a slight chance of showers. Now, we say thunderstorms, but the National Weather Service has put out, they have shared that the thunderstorms in certain areas of West and North and Central Indiana could be moderately, they put it in a moderate category, Category 4, which means more than likely. High is the highest. Number five is the highest. Number four is the next to highest. And then enhanced, marginal is number one, slight is number two, enhanced is number three, moderate is number four, and high is number five. So we're in a, well, part of Clinton County is in a moderate four, and then the south east part of Clinton County is in a enhanced. But north, west, and central, including the city of Frankfort, in a moderate four tomorrow for severe threat. A severe threat means widespread severe storms, likely strong tornadoes, possibly widespread wind damage and destructive hail up to possibly 2 inches. So I wanted to share all that, but now don't get crazy. Don't get in fear. Just always keep an eye on the sky. I always try to tell my wife that, you know, don't, let's not panic everybody. Just, you know, keep an eye. And, you know, it might, we might have a shower. We may have a storm. We may have a tornado. We don't know. It's not necessarily in our hands, but well, it is not in our hands as far as the weather is concerned. It's how we prepare and what we do with it, and there's your information. So you do with it what you will. One of the reasons that we are in the great country of America is that we have that freedom to do what we want. That's part of the biblical principle. I know some people would say, well, you know, the Bible says you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. It's a bunch of do's and don'ts. Well, I don't disagree that there are guidelines and there are restrictions. I would say they're more like guardrails. But the good news about the biblical principles is that, yeah, there's going to be consequences. You just like in real life, and by the way, the Bible is real life. If you read anything, you know, just read Exodus or Leviticus. Or I know some people say, well, I don't want to read those boring books. Read Judges. You know, read Samuel. Oh, my goodness. First and Second Samuel. The Kings. You start reading some of the Old Testament, and you'll see about real life. In fact, Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun of the moon, in other words, since the beginning of time. So it's just a very, I believe, when we talk about rules and regulations, it's more God saying, look, I know what's best for you. I created you, and this is what I say that you, you know, if you do this and you're obedient, there will be this, you know, promise. There's conditions. And here's one, and even with the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment that has a promise is, I believe it's the fourth, that, you know, love your father and mother, honor your father and mother, and you shall live a life, a long life. And I think, what's longevity? What is long? What is the length? You know, some people will say, well, 100 years or whatever the case. I would say that if you translate that, it's more about you're going to live a fulfilled life. When you honor other people, when you respect other people, you're going to be able to live that fulfilled life. Because you're not looking over your shoulder, you're not plotting, you're not, you know, being you know, mischievous, as my grandma used to say, don't be mischievous. I think that you would recognize the opportunity to do what's right. And when we think about America and we think about the great country that we live in, as we were talking with Pastor Gordon last week, the opportunity to do right is within our power and within our ability and really our responsibility and being accountable to the Constitution and accountable to the covenant of this great country, just like a soldier will take an oath. I think that's the same for us as regular citizens, is that we are trying to do what's right and honorable and do what's good towards God, but what's also good towards our fellow man. And I believe that that is the basic principles of why this country was founded. We'll get a little bit more into that. But if you've got a question, or not, I mean, comment, not necessarily a question, I don't have many answers, but if you have a comment, feel free to give us a call, 659-3338. Be glad to talk about that. I think, you know, the very sheer, evidence of us being able to speak here freely today on radio means that, you know, we did something right. And it allows us, because if I were in a different country right now, say China, I would not have this freedom to do this. I would have had a script. I would have been completely reined in and told what to say. But here in America, we're able to speak freely. So I think that is something that we take greatly for granted. And I want to talk a little bit about that, because I want to go back to the begin. You know, and I think sometimes we get this wrong. People just don't understand the revolution. They don't necessarily understand our beginnings. They don't necessarily understand the chronological order of things that have happened and how things have come about. But you know, 1776, July 4, 1776. Some people, I was talking to someone the other day. Well, yeah, we got our independence. We became free. Well, no, that's not how it worked. 1776, it was kind of just the beginning. The war did not end until 1783. And so when you think about that period of time, and then the couple of hundred or 100 years, 150 years prior to that, it is a long time. It wasn't just a few months, a few days, a few weeks. This was a long time. We got a caller. Good morning. You're on Party Line.
Hi, Sam.
Good morning.
I want to. What do you think of this? In the paper, in the magazine, The Week, it says a good day for the dead. So President Trump, during a routine press conference, so that means there were reporters there, claimed without evidence, so I'm not surprised, that there's a drug that brings people back to life. Why don't reporters call him on this?
Well, I would. I don't know what. I've not read that article, so I don't really know anything about it. But I would say that there is adrenaline drugs that necessarily. I'm not saying that somebody's dead, but we bring people back to life all the time. I know a lot of people that have been brought back to life on the in an emergency room. I've got a person at our church that was dead. They hit the flat line. Mm-hmm. They brought him back to life seven times.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, seven times. And if you want to meet him, you can come to church and meet him, because it's a miracle, really, how God did that. So I don't know about a drug, but I do know that our doctors and nurses that I am very thankful for each and every day do an incredible job of. In fact, there was a young man that I was talking to not too long ago that not only did they not have any heart, but they mm-hmm. were saying there was no brain activity, uh-huh. which is where they pretty much, Kim, you know, they, mm-hmm. I think when they do the, I don't know what they call it, I'm not a medical doctor, but when they finally come to that end of life moment, they're looking at brain activity. They're looking at, you know, your cardiac rhythm, mm-hmm. all of these different things. And then you're pronounced dead after they've tried so hard. But I was amazed at this young man. And he's out in the community. In fact, when he was within about 3 days or so, he is up and walking after they did incredible work at, and this was at IU Hospital. So, and I know there's some Franciscan. Parkview with them. There's so many different hospitals out there. I'm not trying to name any others. We have IU in our community, but I am amazed at what can be done today and how people can be brought. Because you think about this, back in the day, if you were sick with some certain disease, you were just written off. And you were just, you know, tuberculosis was one, you know. Yeah. I think of some of these other diseases, but thanks to modern medical technology, it is amazing. Amazing.
I don't think doctors say, oh, well, you're dead, and then we've all heard this, and then they take them down to the morgue, and then they go,
oh, yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I know there's nervous reflexes, I mm-hmm. mean, nerves that continue to kind of live, but are can be responding to the body as it dies. I've talked to mm-hmm. to coroners, and I've talked to funeral home folks. But yeah, there has been those situations where people were put in the morgue and they were not dead. I'll tell you, to be honest with you, that's kind of one of always been. I don't walk in fear, but I always tell my wife, I said, hey, I don't care. You can pull the plug on me. Just make sure I'm dead. Don't put me in that ground if I'm not dead.
Yeah, but it used to be that they said they would wait 3 days in case you weren't dead.
Yeah. That's probably a good idea. Poking.
Well, have a nice day.
Hey, thanks, Kim. Have a great day. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Appreciate Kim calling in. You know, going back to what I was talking about on the American, I think about the life and death situations that went on the battlefield in our early wars too, where there was no really medics. I mean, you had your fellow comrade. You know, you get shot or stabbed or whatever. Okay, bayoneted. Stuck with a bayonet, you were probably going to just lay there, or maybe someone's going to drag you away. But there was a lot of, it was life and death on the battlefield every day. And I think that's the incredible story of America is that we have that type of those story after story after story of people. I think about, Henry Knox. We're going to talk about, probably going to save this more for Thursday and talk more about Henry Knox on Thursday. But what an incredible figure in history that was really George Washington's right-hand person. You don't hear much about him except Fort Knox was named for him. And he ended up becoming the first Secretary of War, by the way, Henry Knox. But way before all of that, he was orchestrating and working through plans. The crazy thing about Henry Knox that I find fascinating is when we're talking about life is life, this guy lived life. His father was a business person that things went, I believe it was a shipbuilder, if I remember right, or worked in a shipyard, but had a business, and it basically defaulted. It went under, times got tough, and dad just left. Henry Knox is 9 years old. He has, nowhere to go. Well, I mean, he has nowhere to go. He's living there in his home, but now no dad. His dad's taken off. And he has to become the man of the house, basically. And he is working with his mom. He's trying to earn a living, trying to pay the bills, trying to keep food on the table. And he goes to work at a bookstore. And he... Then eventually he owns one, and the story goes that he's a voracious reader. Not only was he selling books, but he was reading them, and especially, now listen to this, tell me how this cannot be the providence of God. Tell me how this cannot be just some coincidence. But he's reading books on military strategies of history. And he's reading books on ammunition and weaponry. And the same strategies that he ends up using to help defeat the British, he's learning about this as a young man because his father has abandoned him. He's now working at a bookstore. He's now reading, and not only selling, but he's reading. And now he's, and then he's pushed into the situation where he is part of the battle plan. And, of course, the rest of the history is that he is the guy that got the cannons to Boston from what was the fort? The fort that ended up, they had a bunch of cannons there, and they had to get the cannons to Boston. And over about 6 weeks, through treacherous conditions. I mean, this is the winter. They get the cannons to Boston, and George Washington, of course, trying to be a strategist, well, not just trying, he was a strategist in his own right, and did a lot of incredible things and made a lot of big decisions right on the fly to help bring us this great country we call America, that under the dead of night, they get the cannons in place so that the next morning, with all the ships in the Boston Harbor, they look up and they see this entourage of cannons and soldiers that Henry Knox had been able to bring. Ticonderoga, that's the fort I was trying to think of. But they're bringing these cannons and setting them up, and these British take a look at this and say, "Man, we don't want any part of this." And so it's over. But there was so much going on prior to that, and God allowed Henry Knox to be equipped, be ready, and put himself in great position. That's a sermon in itself, because I can go back to, you know, King David from the scripture and talk about how David, you know, fought lions and he was battling his own challenges growing up, being the youngest son, kind of a little bit of an outcast, if you will, and not necessarily, well, certainly not thought of as the popular one, even though David was considered a nice-looking guy, a charming kid, was certainly not the most popular. His brothers, I'm sure, kind of teased him. I'm the older brother. I know how that can go. And here's David, who is working, you know, tending to sheep, making sure that he has a watchful eye on that, all of his herd, taking care of the farm, taking care of his parents, taking care of his family. And he's 14, you know, 13, 14, 15 years old. And then the moment presents itself after he's been out there slinging the stone, you know, knocking animals and killing animals. The moment, you know, appears, or the moment presents itself as the opportunity for David to do what he did with Goliath. I see the similarities of the God of the Bible, the stories of the Bible, and how it paralleled our beginnings here in our great country. And I don't think it's a coincidence or serendipitous. I think it's very much God ordained and God structured. And so that's one of the reasons that we wanted to celebrate this opportunity leading up to July 4th, is to talk about, have some moments to talk about portions of history that we can relate to as Judeo-Christians, as followers of Christ, that we can highlight that this is what our God, the God of the Bible, has been able to do for our country. And you know what? Here's the great thing, too, about this. You don't have to believe any of this, I say. That's your choice. No one's holding a gun to your head. God's not holding a gun to your head. No one is forcing you. You don't even have to learn any of this history. I would highly recommend you do, because the more you open it up, the more you really dive deeper than just not just what they teach you in school, not just, the dates. I think that's one of the biggest challenges that we have in education. You've got to learn so much to pass the test and move on. Learn so much, pass the test, move on. I don't know if there's learning involved. I think you're memorizing and you're trying to get the grade and you're moving on. Learning, and I think this is what these great men, like Henry Knox, think about that. Henry Knox, a self-taught dude. He was reading at 9 years old. He was thrust into a situation at 9 years old, fatherless. Can you relate? How many in this world today? Look at the statistics today of how many kids are raised without a dad. How many kids are struggling because there've been abandonment? And instead of the government coming in and taking care of you, or taking care of the situation, young Henry Knox got a job, and he earned money through selling books, but he recognized and realized a valuable lesson. I can sell books and make some money, or I could read books and change my life. And I think that's the power of knowledge. I mean, Vern Caspar used to say it all the time. that there is power in knowledge. You need to know so that you can grow. And if you know, then and you're feeding your own intellect. Everybody has an intellect. Everybody has a certain amount of intelligence. We all have a brain. We all have that. It's really what you do with it and how you respond to situations. And I believe at the beginnings of our country, we saw those opportunities brought forth into these young people. And by the way, our founding fathers, I think the average age was like 36, if I remember. I mean, think about that. The average age is 36. We look at them as like these old stoic people, you know, these old dudes. But most of them died like in their 60s. Many of them, some lived into their 80s, 70s and 80s. But all of them, I think Franklin was the oldest, if I remember correctly. But when you think about our founding fathers, they were not old guys. They were young men who recognized and realized that they had and I don't even know if they recognized it in the moment, but they certainly had a place in destiny. They certainly had a place in the heritage of this great country. And Henry Knox is one of them. I wanted to share that story today because I just thought it fascinating how we as Americans sometimes take for granted the greatness of even people that would probably be looked at today as, oh, your dad abandoned you. You guys are on the wrong side of the tracks. You don't have a whole lot. Boy, I don't know about you. You didn't graduate from this prestigious college. You know, he was a self-taught guy. But probably, if it wasn't for Henry Knox, we may not be speaking here today. He was George Washington's right-hand dude and did not get the credit that he deserved. But that's okay, because Henry Knox was not after the credit. Henry Knox was just a learned student that wanted to do the right thing and honor the God that allowed him to be and put him in that position. Okay, well, it's coming up on 9 o'clock. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk healthy communities. We're going to talk about, what are you doing about your health, and how can healthy communities help you, and how does healthy communities help our community, and not just our community. They're also involved in our region heavily. I'm in a lot of regional meetings, and I hear how healthy communities is making a difference, not just in Clinton County, but in other counties surrounding us as well. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come right back. It's Party Line on WILO.